There is several scripture texts that I'm going to be using for this lesson. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 8, verse 30. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 30. When you get there, stick your finger in it and go back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. Leviticus 8:30 and Exodus 12:13. And then with your other hand, stick your finger in there. Just kidding, I'll give you time to turn to that. The first scripture I want to read is Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. It's hard to get good help these days. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. That was talking about the Passover. Now in the book of Leviticus, chapter 8, verse 30, it says, then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he consecrated Aaron, his garments, his sons, and the garments of his sons with him. Now, turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 9. And I'm going to ask someone to read this whole chapter. It's important to notice the contrast, the shifting of the use of the blood in the Old Covenant, and then when Jesus said at the Last Supper about the blood that was represented with the juice being the New Covenant. Don't all jump at once. You want to give the microphone to Sister Trish, please? And thank you, Sister Trish. You're the one I was going to call on anyhow.
All right. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, for he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that's quite a bit to take in, but it's needed. I believe wholeheartedly, like the Apostle Paul, it's only about Christ and Him crucified. Everything else is idle chit-chat. The blood is the title of this lesson tonight. And I'm not going to get in a hurry. We're going to go back and read a little bit more of chapter 9 in Hebrews. But I was thinking over these last couple of weeks in our Sunday morning service, I know the enemy doesn't want us to have those types of services. When we look at what God is doing in the church today, He's getting ready to do some great, great things for the children of God. And it's through the blood The Old Testament blood is a little bit different because it's done with goats and lambs. The ashes of the red heifer. There's only been 6 heifers, and they're looking for number 7 right now. Why is that? So they can start to usher in the coming of the Lord. According to Jewish tradition and law, they have to find the ashes of the red heifer, what is left, and they'll combine them with the ashes of the 7th heifer. Now, we're not going to get into a lot of the sacrificing and that kind of gruesome stuff, but I'm thankful that we live in the day of grace. According to Hebrews, according to Paul, it was Christ who died once for all. And hallelujah. But Jews, even today, when they find the ashes of the red heifer and they finally have to choose that 7th one, and they will purify it by adding the ashes that's left from the 6th one, combine them together so they can cleanse every article of the Old Testament temple. That's how much power that the blood of animals had. But how much more power do we have today? We need the concept of the blood covering. The blood covering is very important for these end times in which we live in. Let's take a look at the introduction before I say a whole lot more. The concept of pleading the blood of Jesus Christ has its roots in the Pentecostal movement. In fact, it would probably be looked at as one of our traditions, and it is one of those traditions that is necessary and important in continuing to uphold. The early Pentecostal movement in pleading the blood comes from Hebrews chapter 9. If you go back to those verses of Scripture, I want to start reading at verse number 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come. Now you have to keep that in mind. Christ came as high priest. Why is that important? The high priests were the only ones that could go into the holiest of holies in the tabernacle. They could only go in being cleansed and washed in the animals' bloods. But Christ was able to go in to the holiest of holies and rip the curtain, not from the bottom up, but from the top down, meaning that no man is the one that did that. It was Christ himself that went in to the holiest of holies. Remember, he came, why? For your sins to be covered. Covered by what? There is no remission of sins without what? Without the shedding of blood. That's why it's important for Christians today in the year 25 to understand the blood covering. We struggle, we fight, we deal with issues that we shouldn't have to deal with simply because we haven't been taught about the blood covering. We don't literally go around, you know, as the instructions for the early Passover with hyssop across the top of the door and down the side frame. But that blood covered the whole house. Covered it so well that the death angel just went to the next house. All he had to do was see the blood on the doorposts and the mantle. What about the blood of Jesus Christ covering us? We need to remember our families are also covered by the blood when we plead the blood over them. They might continue to do dumb things, stupid things. Because usually that's what kids do. But with mom and dad's prayers of the blood covering over them, does God have any difficulty realizing who's whose kid? Grandkid, great-grandkid? No. He knows all things. Amen. Continuing on. He came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, referring back to the Holy Ghost conception, Immaculate Inception. That is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. The covering of the blood is so powerful that it can protect your children and grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. So why don't we plead the blood more often? Again, it goes back to the church not teaching and preaching about the significance of Jesus' shed blood. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's God's plan and God's purpose for this hour that we're living in. Change our works from dead works to serving the living Christ, the living God. Verse 15 is very, very important. And for this reason, he is the mediator. He's the go-between. He's our attorney, our lawyer that pleads our case. Where is Jesus Christ right now? In heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. His shedding of his blood paid the price. He's pleading our case right now, even to our Heavenly Father. That's how big God is. How great our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant. Thank God we have Jesus Christ. By means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I thank God that we didn't have to go back every year, year after year, and do sacrificing. Of goats and calves. But Jesus Christ made the way. Verse 16. It goes in verse 16 and 17. Talking about a testament, a will, the last will and testament of you could put your name there, the promises that Jesus' blood paid for. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Verse 18, therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. Drop down to verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, being our mediator, being our lawyer, our attorney. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. Talking about what took place in the Old Covenant. Before we go on, does anybody have any questions? I don't want to move too fast. Or any statements or comments?
I remember we were going through a situation at one time, and I was praying about it, and the Lord reminded me of that scripture, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. I'm telling you, we have a covenant God, and he keeps his word. That's why I love that scripture. God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he needs to repent. Has he not said, and shall he not do it? Has he not spoken, and caused it to come to pass? I tell you, we have a thank God for the blood. I tell you, thank God for the blood. It was important. Without it, we wouldn't be saved.
Amen. Anybody else? Well, let's continue on. The blood of Jesus Christ is a counteragent to all that is corrupt and sinful in this world. The blood of Jesus Christ is a counteragent to all that is corrupt and sinful in this world. If the blood is applied, just like in the Passover, the doorposts and the mantle having the blood, the angel didn't open the doors and go in and see who or what was going on. He was looking at the blood that had been applied and went to the next house to do the same thing. So you see the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ being that counter agent against all the corruption. You think it's evil now? Get into the book of Revelation and read. When the Christian church is taken out, all hell will come against mankind on this earth. Could you picture a horse with a scorpion tail? Being stung, men wanting to die but cannot die? You think, oh, Pastor, that's just your opinion. Nope, that's the Word of God. Continuing on. When there is not a blood covering, sin is free to corrupt and destroy whatever it can come close to. Think about that for a moment. When there is not a blood covering, in the Passover, didn't matter who was in the household, if they didn't have the blood applied to the mantle and the doorpost, the firstborn was killed, died. God didn't go in and plead with them to change your mind or to do things different. What's going to happen when the rapture takes place? The description is, the Bible says in Thessalonians, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which remain are alive shall be caught up together in the air to meet him. You better plead the blood when you get in a jet the next time. Because when the trump of God sounds, every born-again believer is going to be out of here. Are you going to be left behind? John 10:10, our scripture that I've been trying to preach on, the thief only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But if there was a blood covering, he wouldn't be able to touch. Sin is free to corrupt and destroy whatever it can come close to. And then the last paragraph of the introduction. The blood needs to be active. An active part of our praying, of our singing, of our worship, of our preaching, teaching, exemplifying. It is one of the key elements in spiritual revival. There must be a mindset of revival always in our minds. Active part, not passive. active. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Okay, we've got about 12 minutes or less. The first point, we need to claim the blood. How does the blood become active without you participating? Sunday I said you want to be the participator. Or do you want to be the other tater of the family? Procrastinator. Put it off. We don't have much time to put things off in our life. Amen. We must claim that blood to be active in every aspect of our lives. All right. Psalm chapter 19, verses 13 and 14. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins could be arrogant, downright rude, or audacious. I think when you think of going into the holiest of holies, you go in not arrogantly, but you go in with humility, a humbleness of heart and mind. Let them not have dominion over you. What over you? Don't let your sins control you. Plead the blood. It doesn't matter how many times a day. It's one more time. God doesn't get tired of hearing from His children. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Active. When the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life, then you have to trust in the mercy of God. One thing that we need to be reminded, maybe in your prayers you need to take these five things. Hide me in the blood. Keep me from my unrighteousness. Let me live in your righteousness. Number 3, forgive me of my presumptuous sins. Sometimes we do sin and don't realize . Do you ever stop and think I know everybody's favorite place to shop is Walmart. Just filled with lovely people. Today I was looking for something for Sister Karen. There's a Walmart worker stocking shelves and some guy that I thought he was going to run over everybody. And then as I got closer and the aisle kind of thinned down, he did what he had to do and he was starting to leave and he complained to the Walmart worker. He said, "Man, he needs some patience." I thought, no, he just needs Jesus. I said, it's not too good for his paycheck with an attitude like that. He said, no, it's not. So sometimes we even do, when we're crabby to the waitress, what about something with, I'll show her or him, because you didn't get the right service or the food wasn't. It's amazing. We used to make fun of my mom and dad about complaining about everything. It's not hot enough. It's not enough portion. It's this, it's that. Guess what we're doing now? We're being a bunch of crab apples, complaining about everything. Well, I'm just going to show her, I just won't give her a good tip. What does that show about your walk with Jesus? Think about it. Well, I won't go down that rabbit trail. But there's presumptuous sins. Number four, don't let wickedness have dominion over me. And lastly, never let me step outside of the Word of God. Because that would be in dangerous territory. I want to close with letter B. To engage the blood means that it need never be far from your heart and your mind. Need to get it in here. We need to get it in here. The blood never loses its power. The same healing power that Jesus had back in the day is the same power that he has today, right now. Thank you, Dennis. There's one listening. The blood covering. Utilize it. Pray. Cover your family. Cover your job. Cover anything and everything that affects you. The devil won't be able to use those items. Amen. No comments. I know I've used this before. Go ahead, Brother Howell.
That's my prayer. I don't know how long I've been doing it, but every morning, that's my prayer. Cover us with your blood, family. And I mean the whole aspect, you know, people I'm around, tools, everything. Everything. And, oh my God, it goes so much smoother, so much better. I mean, yeah, he still tries to get in, but devil, you're not my feet. And I remember hearing a story, true story, two neighbors, the one family was saved, the other guy was just, must admit, he didn't like him, messy sin or whatever, but he actually informed him, I'm turning rabid foxes loose around here. They plead the blood like you always did. We plead the blood, our home, our property, and all the way around. The next day they got up, there was dead foxes outside their property. Even they couldn't, where the blood covering is, they couldn't even do any damage to them.
It does not have to be a great detailed prayer. I used to pray. Took me 5 minutes to drive to Garber's. Probably 5 minutes walking in, depending on where I had to park in the parking lot. But just that short distance and short time, I had quality control. Girls questioned me. Why is it when you come into work, your shift starts? Because there was an overlap of time. It seems to go away. I said, well, I pray before I come in. So yes, you can even pray the blood covering over equipment, tools, other people that help you out on your job. Amen. Would you stand with me?